A family story about dementia and the healing power of music performed with a mass community choir is the new offering from the team behind the play and movie Daffodils. Alison cares for her daughter Billy and for her mother Tup, who has advanced frontotemporal dementia. Billy comes across a YouTube video that leads the family to search for a mass choir. Playwright Ro Bright and director Ketan Petkovsky have remotely worked with New York-based composer Pat Irwin on the original songs. The music will be performed by a choir made up of Voices Aotearoa New Zealand and locally sourced community singers at the premiere at the upcoming Festival of Colour in Wānaka. Ro explains that the idea for the hall has been kicking around for a few years.
So this particular work actually started, I think it was 2011. I went to a massive Sacred Harp Sing with 400 singers and it blew the roof off, and I sat there and thought to myself, I would love to make a work that uses this type of music. So it's been a long, long journey, and probably about 4 years of us working on it intensely on the script to get to this point. Sacred Harps are kind of form of music where they all come together and they all sing inwards in what's called the hollow square, and they all sing for each other. So it's a form of singing that really can't be recorded and it can't be filmed. It's just not the same. You only really experience it when you hear it with the acoustic voice, with real people. So there's a thing they say, you know, Sacred Harp only works when you can hear community in it. And it's something you feel. So this is a story about a family trying to get that feeling back to their mother.
Goodness me. So what's the story that you're telling before we come back to the logistics?
The story, because it definitely started with the music first and finding characters in a world that really connected to the raw sound of Sacred Harp. And because Sacred Harp is such a communal community event, we needed to find a story that was about community and about what music can do for a community. And from that, I started hearing a lot of stories and reading a lot of stories, personal stories, about families and dementia, in particular FDD, and how music and a community is needed to support those with dementia. So from that, kind of all these stories came together, and slowly the world of Tup, Alison and Billy came together and formed. And together with Pat Irwin, we started writing songs and music that kind of supported these three characters. There was actually six completely different versions of the script and different characters and story that we played around with. But some of the lyrical pieces that Pat and I were working on, and then the music, that kind of went hand in hand from the very beginning all the way through. So the songs very much influence the story and the characters as well.
So Ketan is director. That's it's one thing having a cast. You're also going to be working with a mass choir. So this must be quite joyous as well as tricky.
Oh, yes. I had no idea what to expect. I think we have 12 singers from Voices New Zealand and another 12 or 13 singers from Wānaka local singers. And on top of that, we've also invited any audience member coming to the show to join us an hour beforehand to learn an original Sacred Harp song that we all sing at the very end of the show. So it's very much an immersive experience for all if they wish to take part of. So, yeah, thinking about how to integrate the choir with the characters and the action in this play has been it was scary at first, but once we got on the floor and we worked a couple of scenes, and we got a pretty good idea of mixing the domestic and the naturalism of these really intimate scenes inside the home with the surreal, the epic sound of the choir and the how much it... the choir evoke in terms of emotions and how much they say about the characters.
Ro, take us into the Greer household.
They're a family who their lineage goes back to America, to Alabama, which is one of the key kind of areas where Sacred Harp is really entrenched. And it's about a family who brought that tradition over to New Zealand, and a grandmother who was such an integral part of having a Sacred Harp community in her neighbourhood. And with now having frontal temporal dementia, how that singing in that world has kind of has completely stopped for at least 10 years. And the hall that they used to have has now been demolished, like many of our kind of great halls around New Zealand. My family had a beautiful hall for all the farms around, and that hall's now gone, sadly. So the story kind of takes place now, 10 years later, where Tup is at. You know, she's coming to kind of more later stage frontal temporal, and we're seeing her daughter, who's a caregiver, and our story's told through her and her younger daughter, who's 14, and kind of how they're able to connect with Tup and to bring this music back to her and what they kind of need to go through.
Keytown, obviously, Rose been doing her research and the writing of the play, but also as a director, say when you're particularly the character Tup, the mum, the way you direct this has to be done sensitively and I'm thinking also accurately.
Absolutely, and we've had long conversations on how we portray and approach such a character with respect and dignity, and we have spoken to many many people, friends, family, like everybody we've spoken to has known of or is currently dealing with a parent or a family member who is undergoing dementia or Alzheimer's. We've received a lot of feedback. We've done quite a lot of research, and I have to say our actor Donna Rees, who plays the role of Tup, has been phenomenal in terms of the research she did even before day one of rehearsals, and looking at the different ways care, instead of caregiving, she's we've come across this term care sharing, where it's all about how people together take care of someone with dementia or support them. So we've come up with visual languages, physical language, because they do become less and less verbal as the disease continues. An informative process of understanding how best practice of caring, but also quite a sad, confronting reality of from a caregiver's perspective of how much they sacrifice and what they have to go through. It's been enjoyable, and also it's finding that balance of doing it justice.
This seems to me designed to tour, and maybe to particularly row work in the smaller communities. You could have opened this, you know, with your name and reputation in a big theatre somewhere, but I imagine in a small venue in Wanaka is kind of a perfect venue for this in terms of the story that you're telling and the significance and the importance of community choirs.
Oh, most certainly. One of the key factors for us is the Festival of Colour is curated by the amazing Philip Tremuen, and he was the very first festival director to pick up daffodils and has been quite a mentor to us throughout the years, giving us advice and supporting us. And so when we first presented the idea, and Philip decided to pick it up, which is, you know, always a risk with a new work because you have no idea what it's going to be until that opening night. And so for him to have that faith in us, and this is his last festival with Festival Colour, it's just been such an honour and has felt really special to be able to bring the work to Wanaka. And we've had our musical director, Steph Brown, who's from the band Lips. She went down and spent some time with the singers in Wanaka, and they're just truly fantastic. We actually had a big Zoom conversation a few weeks ago where everyone shared their personal love of singing and why they sing. And they're so deeply personal, and we felt really honoured that all the singers would share these stories and that they're coming in to perform this work. And so to have this connection between New York with Pat Irwin, with us here in New Zealand, it's pretty special. So it feels like the perfect place to be able to bring this work to life.
Are you hoping that as many people as possible, singers or not, will take up that invitation that you're offering to come and learn a song and sing at the end? Is that a big part of the heart of this play?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, our dream would be for every audience member in that crowd to sing that last song and to see and to experience and be a part of what that could do and how that could help somebody with frontal temporal dementia. So it is about a community coming together, and also a community coming together in a time of a global pandemic. We were just reflecting this morning on how privileged and lucky we are to perform this show in the round with singers next to the audience, you know, everybody sitting together, knock on wood, or touch wood, goes the saying. We don't have to wear masks, we don't have to socially distance in the space, and this is something that countries are, at the moment, most places are a dream of doing. So I just wanted to acknowledge how special it is to come together and do such a show where the audience take part.
Roe Bright and Ketan Petkoski. The hall premieres at the Wanaka Festival of Colour on the 15th of April. And I'm going to be down there, by the way, chairing some sessions at Aspiring Conversations. It's always lots of fun.